left off yesterday with a riddle. At the very least, over the course of the morning today, you solve that riddle. We left off yesterday with a question of the situation I described, which we'll see soon as well, according to our second institution of payment all. The situation we sketched out yesterday, the child, bowl of dough, maybe chocolate chip cookie dough. I'm not sure if my numbers are chocolate chip cookie dough, but I believe it's on that. And most likely the child both touched the sherets and the cookie dough. On the other hand, the cookie dough, and that indicates that probably the dough is coming. Because if you touch the dead sherets and then you touch the cookie dough, then now the cookie dough is a shame of the cookie. I asked you yesterday, what's the counter argument? The counter argument is what you see in many places in Shas. The source of it appears in Kulin Daf Yud on the base. Let's take a brief look at this Gemara. We will also take a look at the beginning of the Gemara and Yud Aleph of an Aleph. There's a lot going on here. The context, large appendix of the Gemara is not relevant to us right now. The Gemara taught you the first part of Kulin is about Hilchos Shvita. Verse 2, Prakim of Kulin by Hilchos Shvita. The Gemara talked about how I know kosher trade. The Gemara says, by the way, I've been meaning to ask you for a long time. We're a general, but all over Shas, I thought they were going to use the language, Menahos Gamor Abana. This idea that the Chacham say all over, you can find that language several places in Shas. Menahos Gamor Abana, X, is when X is sort of like a global halakhic principle. Where you're everywhere, all over Shas, you hear about this idea. By the way, where does it come from? We're always accessing it, we never explain what its source is. Menahos Gamor Abana. In the middle, you know, and they must have the tooling. Where does this concept that Chazal speak of all over the place, where does it come from? Which concept? The Ukidusah Heskei. That you should assume that something, that the status of an item follows its Chazaka. Chazaka, you should know, Ches Zayin Kufei. Chazaka is a tricky word. Heard Shepard say many, many, many times the name of Pirigadim, one of his Sifrei Kolim, the word Chazaka could refer to one of six different halachic principles. The word Chazaka in general, what it means in all those cases is presumption. The reason to assume a certain standard of affairs. But in our Gemara, we can maybe some other time get to what the other five are. But right in our Gemara, we talk about the most common usage of the word Chazaka is what would be more fully called Chazaka de Meikar. Chazaka based on Meikar means original. And it was to assume that whatever was true in the past is still true now, and it was to assume the, in English, we call it, technical, to call it status quo. You really want to have to call it status quo ante, something fancy that way, and the status quo that was in the past. I don't know what it is now, but I know that yesterday, I'm going to a mikveh. Opening sugya masechet nidah. I'm going to mikveh. The din is a mikveh has to be 40 sa'ah. There's a certain minimum capacity, amount of volume of water that the mikveh needs to hold in order to be kosher. Even if I happen to be a very small person, and I can fit a small mikveh, it's not a valid tefillah unless the mikveh is 40 sa'ah. Let's say I'm on the short side. The fact that I fit into the mikveh doesn't prove that the mikveh had enough water. Well, we measured it. When did we measure it? We measured last week. Okay. Measured last week, there was enough water. Is there still enough water? Maybe. Maybe not. Sometimes we both lose water. Especially if it's a natural mix of soil, there may have been a certain amount of drainage into the soil. Drainage the soil might be a problem. Evaporation. Whatever it is. Without getting involved in many houses of the clothes, but suffice it to say, it could be the mikvah lost water, I don't know for sure, but last week we measured it and it was more than 40 stuff, so I should be able to go, I don't have to measure the mikvah every time I use it. Last week it was 40 stuff, there's no evidence to indicate that it's different, I'm not looking precisely, so Chazaka tells me I can assume it's still 40 stuff. Chazaka, the Meikar. Comes up all over the place. Gemara Tofe, Mishnah in Gemara Zimsuvas, a woman's been out of town for a while, a woman grew up in this town, then she left, go to seminary, to go to college, whatever it is, and now she comes back. So, is she married, is she single? Well, you might want to ask her. But let's say for everybody, without getting into the involvement details of the case of the seven students, let's say asking her is not an option. Right. So can we assume that, well, what should we assume? So the chazaka is perhaps a relevant factor there. I don't know for sure now. I don't know what happened in the last 3 years. But I do know she grew up in this town. When she was born, she was single. Right? As long as she was here, she seemed pretty single. But then she left when she was 17, 18 years old. Now she's 25. Maybe she got married. Maybe she didn't get married. Maybe she got married and got divorced. Right? But I don't know. I knew what the status was once upon a time. And I don't know that status remained or changed. So that's Chazaka de Meikara. But I don't know whether a change happened or not. There was a time in the past when I knew the status. Now I don't know. So I have the right to assume that the status has remained unchanged. That is Chazaka de Meikara. It's in the world of Cheskas Penuya, that Chazaka is still a single woman. Whether it's the chazaka that the mikvah is still male, but we wouldn't have psukim for that. We apply all over the place. But where is the chumash talk about that? The Gemara says the chumash talks, as you saw, the chumash actually talks about it where you least expect to find it in the world of saras, maseches nedarim. You all know there are a few types of saras in broad strokes. There's saras on personal trials, an individual's body, the saras begadim, a person's clothing, and the saras bottom. We're talking about saras bottom, nige bottom. So the Chumash says, Yansa Koyim in Abayis al Pesach HaBoyis, and the Koyim comes inside to the house to look at the nega. You have to assess whether the nega fits all the requirements of the din to qualify as a nega saras. It has to have a certain size, and a certain color, a certain presentation, so on and so forth. If you're interested in the whole beautiful Masechta, 14 Prakim from Masechta Nedarim, you can take a look. Only one or two Prakim there about Negevachim. Beautiful Masechta. But the Maaseh of Kohen goes in. One of the things you should know about Saras is that it's one of the few areas in Halacha where the Psak is not a discovery process, it's actually a determination. But usually, we talk about it before during Seder. If you tell me that the milk fell into the chalim to try and figure out the kosher treif, and we measure it, when you think about it, we look at the chalim, we decide, treif. So I didn't just make it treif. It was treif as soon as the milk fell in. I was just discovering the fact that it has been treif since the milk fell in. I'm not making it treif. One of the few cases where a psak actually creates the reality rather than just discovering the reality is Saras. It's not, you're not, even if a person or clothing or a house has a neg that fits all the dinim, and you're not coming to the Kohen says so. As a matter of fact, the Mishnah even say, sometimes they have a Kohen on the arts. Now, I'm supposed to be telling them, Jews in general should be telling them, because they don't. Let's say you have the only part of the town doesn't know, or maybe it's on the Kohen, but other things, doesn't know, doesn't know Saras. So he's going to go to look at a neg that's together with the rabbi. The rabbi is not a Kohen, will paskin, all you fix the rules, they'll tell the Kohen, you should say tar. Or he'll tell the Kohen, or look, it doesn't fit the rules, you should say tar. Why? Because you need the Amira Sakohen to make it tar. The rabbi might figure what the din should be, it's only going to be the din once the Kohen says so. That's what the Torah says, Yotzei Kohen Abayis, the Kohen goes out, and when he's outside and out of the range of the tumah, that's when he says tar. Gemara says it's very nice, that he's not going to, the Chumash described, he walks outside first, just like Kohen Abayis, and he only pronounces it Tameh once he's outside. The beautiful, that he's not going to become Tameh, but how does his pronouncement work? We said the pronouncement of the Kohen is necessary, but it also has to be Tzaraz. And if you have a vindictive Kohen, who just goes over to somebody that's like, oh, you're Tameh. He doesn't have any Tzaraz. Oh, I said you're Tameh. Right? Does that work? Of course not. You have to actually have a nega that fits the rules in the Gemara, plus Amir HaSakon. Right? That was the presumption of our Gemara. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The Kohen looked at the nega and it fit all the rules. It's the right color, it's the right size, nega has to be, I think it's wrist. Chris is a penny. Chris is the size of a penny.
Right? See, he takes out his penny, then the penny.
That's what pennies useful for, to measure Chris. Not useful for so many other things. They are very important for a reason. It takes out the penny, measures the big, puts the penny, it puts the penny over the saras, and saras is larger than the penny. He says, okay. I won't say anything just yet. He walks outside and says, come. The guard says, what do you mean? How does that work? Then maybe Adinafik the Asa, by the time he was nothing, he left the Asa and came. Kishi Yatsa Uba, Batsar Le Shiura. The Shir has decreased. Maybe the Nega shrank during the time it took him to walk outside. And therefore what? Well, since Amiras HaKohen only makes it Tame, if there is also a Nega there, and then the fits the rules, it's not going to work, right? I said 10 seconds ago there was Nega. But the Gemara, by the way, is clearly assuming there has to be a Nega at the moment of Amiras HaKohen. How do you know? Maybe it's there. Maybe it's not there. If I said, you see that from the pasuk is assuming, I know I'm going to walk outside and exactly 12:05 in 7 seconds, when I'm outside, I'm going to say, come. Why? Because at 12:05 in 2 seconds, I saw that there was a nega. Maybe over the 5 seconds I'm going to walk outside, it shrank. The answer is, 5 seconds ago I observed that it was large enough, it was like this. Now I don't know. So there's an example, Cheskes Gris. I can assume it's still, I don't know whether it has changed. I can assume it's the same size, and then the market's involved in details. Is it really clear that the Chumash Torah is such a case? I says yes. Even if I'm going to look back from the outside, I can't see all that. Right? There'll be spots in the house I can't see unless I drill a hole. We don't drill, we don't change the Nagam scene. We leave it alone. So you see that there'll be cases of a Nega where the Kohen cannot see it at the moment that he's pronouncing it. So he's pronouncing it based on what he saw earlier in time, an example of Chazak in the Mekarah. And that's the marker for Chazak in the Mekarah, B'chol HaTorah Kula. Even not just Nagam, that's the principle of Mahmatsin. Perhaps that's what the Bryce means by Binyanah. You have a concept in one area of Chesed, you assume, unless otherwise indicated, that should apply other areas of Halacha as well. And that is something we'll be coming back to vigorously, by the way, if we get back to the comment days coming up. Okay, here's an example of Mahmatsinu. If I Tsaras is a concept of Chazak in the Nekar, we're going to assume it's true all over Halacha. Now, simple question is, as an aside, you might be wondering, why is the proof to Chazak in the Nekar? What are the chances that the Nega shrank? Maybe it's Rove. You haven't gotten to Rove yet. But how do you know this is Chazaka? Maybe it's Rove. Right. What are the chances that Nega... And a day later, maybe, but 5 seconds, how long does it take to walk outside the house? Right. A couple of seconds. Their houses, it's cool that we know, it's cool that the houses are pretty small. Many people may have lived in one-room houses. We know from archaeological digs that the standard house layout to the standard four-room house layout. And that's so. If you're really interested, I can show you a monograph in a later letter of Palestinian architecture in the Roman period. There's one important picture there that's relevant to those that they didn't realize. But other than that, it may not excite you so much. But regardless, how long does it take a four-room house, a one-room house, how long does it take to walk outside? Seconds. What are the chances? If I measure a mikveh, right, and then 5 seconds later I jump in, that's not chazaka. That's a 99.99% row. How quickly does water evaporate? Right? Look at me. I look at the neck, and 5 seconds later I say it's Tommy. Look at me, look at that moment. What did chazaka for?
But isn't row the center of chance? This isn't like a natural process, this is a mikveh. So the mikveh, you understand that there's a process of the water.
Correct. I think no one hit the nail on the head. The answer is this isn't a natural process. Where did the nega come from? It didn't develop. It's miraculous. It could develop slowly, or it could just poof and all of a sudden it's there and it's full glory. So it could also disappear or shrink. I don't know. Who says there are any rules? This is an ace. That kind of verbal promises, people sometimes do an ace. What's our ass? So why should I assume that's unlikely that they would disappear? Maybe they followed the tshuva. While the Kohen is walking out, the guy goes, he was like, oh boy, I can't believe that. Masha, I'm calling my head like a hits it. And the Kohen, my house, he goes, and then, well, he has to remember the tshuva, maybe during those 5 seconds. Well, why is it unlikely? It's hard to put numbers on it. Is it unlikely that it would shrink? I don't know what's likely or unlikely. It's not a natural process. And I think you're absolutely right. It's not a question of wrong. I don't know what's likely or unlikely. But what I do know is it was this way earlier. It may or may not still be this way. And the Torah says, you have the right to act based on the observation of earlier. Earlier you observed the negative was the right side, you have the right to pronounce it time now based on your earlier observation. That is chazam the neikara, and that obviously is what's at play in the case we're talking about, the tinok. On the one hand, you have the rove indicates that the dough is tame. The rove indicates that the child touched the dead mouse and then touched the cookie dough. But on the other hand, chazaka tells me, I don't know whether the dough is tame, but I do know that 10 minutes ago it was tame. It may or may not have changed. The rove tells me it probably changed. Chazaka tells me it didn't change. So that's why that case, we'll come back to that case soon, but that's what's going on. That case is a combination, a conflict, of both Rove on one hand and Chazaka and Neikara on the other. Now let's turn our attention, speaking of Rove, to Rove. And that's the Torah picks up. So successfully figuring out what the Makar is for Chazaka and Neikara on Yom HaDei, now let's turn our attention to the next major principle in Torah's Hasegos. Another tool in figuring out what the facts are when I don't know what the facts are. We know how Nilsa Damora Banan, second line, cooling your knowledge out. Where does this the following global principle come from? Which global principle? That Chacham teach us Zil Basar Ruga, Leich Achar Haro. You should follow the majority. How do you know that you can follow the rule? What type of question is that? You know what? It's not, you see from this case that we're assuming Rove was there, it's a positive image. Parsh, you're responsible. I'm not sure. Follow the Rove. You're asking, you know, I'm listening to where it's going. A positive image. Question? The Gemara says, how do you know that you follow Rove? A positive image, you follow Rove. So you want to say something incredibly important. Everything Gemara says is incredibly important. But this strikes us. The profundity of the following strikes us. The Gemara says, well, I know there's a pasuk Avraham Matos, but that only answers half the question. The Gemara says there are two different flavors of Ruba. There's type 1 and type 2. Ruba the Isa Kavon, Kigon Gesha Haluiz, the Tehed Lokai Bailo. Type 1 row, that I know, that comes from the Pasuk Avraham Matos, that's the rule of Ruba the Isa Kavan. Row, literally, row Sheyeshna Lufanen, the row that is in front of us. The examples are the case of the 9 stores and the Sanhedrin. Right? Let's read the Gemara, and we'll try to figure out what the Gemara is telling us. Kika the violin, where is it? You know, the Shiloh was. The Shiloh was, we need a Makor for a type 2. Ruba the Lasek Kavan, Ruba which is not in front of us. Sheyeshna Lufanen. You go and talk to the time. Like a boy or the case of the boy or the case of the girl. We know where does that come from? That's not so obvious. What are? And then for that, the Gemara, for Ruben the Lisa come on, the Gemara said, you're right. You can't get the fun of the mucker. And the Gemara is displaying it all from Ralph and it all from Bay, trying to find one case after another case. And okay, maybe this parasha of the Torah, maybe that parasha of the Torah, because that Gemara is right away found Nigevat when we were done. We have to work on a little bit, but that's the mucker. Here is where the long series of the possibilities. So before you see any possibility, what are these cases? Yeah, questions.
So why is the theory that Gemara is assuming that the pasuk Avraham Avinu Lahazav can only apply to a rove lekama that's before us? But why is that true? It doesn't say Avraham Avinu Lahazav in a case where it's right before us. It's Avraham Avinu Lahazav.
Great question. So let's first read what the Gemara is saying, why it means to have less than me. Then we'll see why the Gemara assumes the Pasuk is only considered for it to have one. The rope in front of us, where the rope is not in front of us. What does that mean? The rope is in front of me versus not in front of me? So
So let's look at the examples.
So tell me the examples of one or the other. The Gargan example, right? Why don't they say
example of a... Example of a Ruba, Isa Kamod. Ruba Isa Kamod is type 1. And then type 2 is a Ruba, the Lesel Kamod. Reish Dal Alkof, Reish Dal Mamakof. Right? Because the Ruba, the Isa Kamod, was like Tesha Harios, and Sanhedrin. The Lesel Kamod is cotton, and cotton. So what's the case of Tesha Harios? Rashi tells us, to look elsewhere in Chulin. Actually, look elsewhere in Chulin. You find a piece of meat in the street, it's out of the package. Raw meat. Out of the package. It came from one of the 10 butcher shops in town. Tesha Harios, 9 of the stores, I'm listening to the store, 9 of the stores sell kosher meat. One of the stores sells trade meat. So I find a piece of beef. I find a piece of chicken. I don't know, is it Empire or Purdue? Is it kosher or is it trade? There's 9 stores selling Empire chickens, and 1 store that sells Purdue chicken. So, leaving out a lot of details, now we're not learning the office of Bashar Sultan and I, but suffice to say, there is a robe that's in play. He said the Rov Chanuyos, 90% of butcher shops, is that 90% of sources of meat in town are sources of kosher. That's a Rov. Another Rov is Sanhedrin. You have the basin. They on him here a case. It's a case of Dinim Avinas. I'm suing you for wages you didn't pay me. I see you owe me money. A Shomer, a Masek, whatever the case, we're neighbors, whatever the case may be. I take you to basin. And the panel there, let me hear the case. And they deliberate, and they adjudicate, and they come to the conclusion, 2 say that you owe me money, 1 says you don't owe me money. So the din is, you owe me money. Okay. You go to we found a fellow who committed a crime, what's his crime? Chil Shabbos. So we bring him to criminal court. And this is a capital case. So we bring him to, a Beis Din about 3 or 20. And the Beis Din listens to the Eidim, they cross-examine, they discuss, and then shock the Kari back and forth. They come to the conclusion, I have 23 Dayan, 14 say Chayav Misa, 9 say he is not. And the Din is going to be Chayav Misa. Not all 23 said that he is Chayav Misa. Not all 3 Dayanim said that you owe me money. That's fine. We follow bro. That, by the way, is Hasek of Achir Rabin. But that's what the Gemara says, is Ruba de Isa Kama, as opposed to Kavit Kama. What's Kavit Kama? Rashi tells us that he requires a job in the background, as he's going to do a Chalitza. A couple is married, husband's out, got children. Maybe he's a fallen soldier in Saul. Young man that never had, recently married and never had children.
Don't have children.
Man dies, leaving behind no children, but no descendants. Good? Leaving behind no descendants, but a wife and at least one brother. So that woman, the widow, needs to either do yibum with one of the brothers, surviving brothers, or get chalitza from one of the surviving brothers. That allows her to then marry out of the family. A whole beautiful message about that, but now is not the time for that. Suffice it to say the following. In order to perform chalitza, so both the cholet and the choletzes, the surviving brother who is performing chalitza together with his sister-in-law, with the widow, both need to be physically capable of having children. She happens not to have children, but there's nothing anatomically wrong. He is not anatomically a stutterer. He's not anatomically or physiologically. He's not built to be infertile, and she's not built to be infertile. But there are many situations of infertility where that don't count as a stutterer or an analyst. But a stutterer is a man that
develop very differently. He's not going to undergo normal puberty. He's not going to undergo normal development. And Idleness is a girl, a woman, who doesn't undergo normal puberty. So if you have an adult Sarus or adult Idleness, you can tell that they're very different. They're physically very different. Their voice chain of the Idleness will have a much deeper voice than typical adult woman would have. And they'll be demonstrable. A physician can tell at an exam that she's an Idleness and he's a Sarus. You can tell when they're 20. You can't tell when they're 10 or 11. Before Bar Bas Mitzvah, can't tell. Normal children who will go through puberty also haven't gone through puberty yet. At that point, an 11-year-old, you can't tell. So would you allow an 11-year-old to be involved in Hebrew or Chalitza? So the Gemara is referencing, well, the Kutner of Katana, the boy under 13, the girl under 12, we can't tell whether they will have normal healthy development or that they'll develop into Sarus or Idleness, but chances are they'll develop normally. So the vast majority of the adult population, most adult men are not Sarisim, most adult women are not Idleniyos, so chances are, I don't know what the numbers are, 95 to 5, 97 to 3, 99 to 1, whatever the numbers are, that this 11-year-old boy will grow up to be a normal, healthy adult man. Chances are, again, 95 to 5, 99 to 1, whatever it is, that this 11-year-old girl will grow up to be a normal, healthy adult woman, and therefore, even now, we can discuss even more chalitza. There is a small chance that this boy will grow up to be a Sarus, that this girl will grow up to be an Idleness, and we just can't tell yet. At this point, it's indistinguishable. It'll become apparent over the next couple of years. So that's an example of Ruba de Leisa Kama. How should we determine the status of this this not yet bar mitzvah boy, this not yet bar mitzvah girl? Well, chances are 19 to 1 or 99 to 1, whatever the numbers are, that they will not be Sarus or Idleness. That's Ruba de Leisa Kama. So what's the difference between this and that? Between Ruba de Leisa Kama and that are the cases. What difference between Ruba de Leisa Kama and this? Can you wait to answer the whole comment? Okay, so it's a whole other question for now. Well, other than the thing about it, what is Ruba de Leisa Kama, what is Ruba de Leisa Kama? What do you say?
Ruba de Leisa Kama is when a case is before you, like a Sanhedrin. And the Leisa Kama is when you have these statistics.
Statistics versus in front of us, yeah? Yogi?
The data set in front of you or not.
I'm sorry?
The data set in front of you or not, in the case of the Sanhedrin and the Tamiya,
spoken like a computer scientist. Yeah, what else? Ruba de Leisa Kama versus Ruba de Leisa Kama? You said Potter, you said Pater, 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 you said Pater. Right? Or the store, I can directly determine the 10 stores, here they are, this one's kosher, that one's trade, and this one's kosher. Where it's got a Tana, it's an open set. It is, as you said, statistics. It's not that there are 10 boys in town and we did genetic testing and all that. I'm saying there are millions of people in the world, and based on our observations, as you pointed out, of the past, in the past, the vast majority of boys have grown to be healthy men. So we can extrapolate that this boy will probably grow to be a healthy man. This girl will probably grow to be a healthy woman, and not an island.
But it's not a closed set. It's kind of a hold on, and you're right also, we're extrapolating from that set to this person, as opposed to just looking at this closed defined set of things. So the Gemara says, now that we have that, and we'll probably be thinking some more, but we're Easter coming through the Easter coming, we'll think a lot of that. The Gemara says, in the moments that remain. The Gemara says, so we do have a pasuk for row, but the upper abohatos appears to be this. That's an edim, right? That's what they're talking about. Amazing. That's an example. Upper abohatos is an example. Look over up. I don't know what to say about this, but question shot. Upper abohatos is an example of Rubidi Issa Kaman. And what premise is the Gemara assuming? At least at this point in the Gemara. But just because I know Ruby the Isakaman doesn't mean I know Ruby the Isakaman. Yeah! Ruby the Isakaman, sure! That's a Pasuk in Chumash. But who says you can expand it from this to that? Sounds like you're assuming Ruby the Isakaman is more obvious, or it's a stronger spur. So I have a Pasuk in Isakaman that's beautiful. But the Heza Tasi, I can expand Ruby the Isakaman. It's weaker, or at least very different. The statistics. People have said to me, oh, halacha doesn't know statistics, though. That was happening. We reject the happening. But the Gemara said it's not so much. Just because a closed set I have laid on the mirror, I have stores here. Yeah, that's a rogue. But who said that can have problems in terms of probability and statistics and to make general statements about what usually happens? That's not so much. The Gemara is going to work hard to figure out, can I find a pasuk in Chumash or 10 that assume that are clearly assuming the operation of Ruba Deleisa Kama. There are a number of examples. We'll have a chance to see at least one or two of them at Tashem next year, which will be Saul Gedalia, right? But anyway, once we're comfortable with the concepts of Ruba and Chazaka, then we're going to begin to talk about what we raised last time, which is Ruba Chazaka, Ruba and Ruba Chazaka. How does that work when they intertwine? And is one stronger than the other? And or not, and it's going to get a little complicated, and we'll be a little unclear as to which is stronger. That will hopefully bring us to greater understanding, more nuanced understanding, both of Rome and of Chazaka. Then from there, we're going to be able to gain some more nafkaminas and how Rome works, how Chazaka works. And then with that, we'll be ready then to come back home to Bava Kam and Vav, and to take a look specifically at Safed Mamon.